Talk about being connected. You've got to get connected. From the beginning of time, God has designed, planned, and purposed for us to be connected to in relationship. God designed us as relational beings. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "It's not good for man to be alone." Now, we know what happens after that. God created woman. And man, what a miracle. I mean, all the men say, amen. Without my wife, I would be lost as a goose most of the time. But God created us for relationship. God created us to be for fellowship with Him, right? And if God created us for the purpose of fellowship, that tells me that God is relational. God believes in being connected. Being connected is so biblical. And the Bible says that God created us after His own image. So if God, being a relational being, wants fellowship to the point that He'll create us, how many of y'all believe that God has put that in our DNA? The need to connect, the need to have fellowship, the need to have a relationship, the need to be plugged in and involved. It was never intended for us to live life alone. It was never intended for us to be isolated. It was never intended for us to be out on our own. We were created, and it was intended for us to be connected. Now, some folks, I know, you just can't leave on their own, right? You can't leave them on their own. I'm not talking about that. You know, like, y'all look around the room, and I see a couple of folks that, you know, we need to make sure they're connected. You know, you can't leave some of them by themselves too long. Like Sister Arlene back there, I think, yeah. Somebody needs to be connected and watching her at all times, all right? So, but we're never designed to be alone. We're never designed to live this life detached. But we were designed, and God's put it in us, to be connected and to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. But how many of y'all know it's hard sometimes? Man, how many of you, it's kind of scary sometimes to step out and to be connected. And anybody else like that? And you know, but it's like that because the enemy fights it. The enemy fights you being connected with everything he has. Because even if we don't realize the importance and the necessity to being connected, the enemy realizes it. That's why he brings fear. A lot of times it's just fear of the unknown, you know, afraid to put yourself out there or just afraid of what people might think. And the enemy fights with all kinds of fears. But I believe that God's going to help us get past all that and to connect and be able to step into our destiny, because without connecting, we'll never fulfill God's destiny for our life. Without connecting, we'll never be able to truly be the people that God's called us to be. Now, some people think they can do without it. You know, some people think that, well, I don't need that. I'm fine by myself. And you know what? The truth is, you might can survive without being connected. But how many of you just want to survive? How many of you just want to get by? I don't believe that God wants us to just survive. I believe that God wants us to thrive. I believe that God wants us to be full of life. I believe that God wants us to have joy. I believe that God wants us to be involved and connected. God wants us to be a part of a living body. Amen? God wants us to experience the life that Jesus died for to give us. Do y'all want to experience that tonight? Do you want to be connected tonight? I pray that you do. Well, the first thing I got to mention is the first connection you got to have is you got to be connected to God. The Bible says in John 15:5, I believe it is, it says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." And it says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." The first thing we got to be connected to, we got to be connected to the true source. We got to be connected to the source of life. We got to be connected to God. You know, and I don't know if Pastor Cricket already talked about this, but salvation has to be the first step if you're ever going to do anything. We got to be saved. We got to be connected to God, the giver of life. Amen. If we're connected to Him, then we have potential. But outside of that, there's no potential. There's no life that can flow through us if you're not connected to the vine. Now, how many of you have ever done some pruning around your house, or you ever had to clean up some brush? What happens when you disconnect a branch from the tree, or you just disconnect a branch from the vine? Does it continue to live? No, it withers and it dies. And that's the way it is with Jesus, with Christ. We have to be connected first and foremost to Him. We've got to be seeking Him. We've got to give our life to Him. We've got to commit ourselves to His Word, commit ourselves to prayer. You've got to do what you need to do to thrive as a Christian. Your Christian walk has to thrive. It has to be connected. Just like, we used to be involved with the oil exploration side of the business at Murphy, and they always did these things. They'd have to occasionally go back and rework a well. They'd call it a workover. They'd have to rework a well because at some point along the line, the pipes and the lines and things, there became a disconnect. Whether it was clogged up or whether it was a break in the line or something. But for that well to produce, for that well to be valuable or have any value, they had to rework it. They had to do a workover. And that was simply just reconnecting the source. But once that source was reconnected, you know, then the value was great. And that's the way it is with us. If we're connected to the source, I can't tell you the value that you have. Man, every one of you sitting in here tonight, I think God wants you to know that you mean so much to Him. You mean so much to Him, and you're so valuable to Him. You're so valuable to the body. You're so valuable to the work that He wants to do here. You're so valuable to Him. But we have to stay connected. We have to be connected to the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. Oh, y'all did good on that. All right. So we have to stay connected to Him first and foremost. And then after we're connected to Him, He places us in the body. He places us in the body of Christ. And it says in some places, I don't have the scripture, but it says He places us as He sees fit. God places us together in the body. If you're here tonight, if you're part of this church, you're not here by accident, but you're here because God called you. You're here because God placed you, and you have a role to play. You have a function in the body of Christ. And so we're going to talk about that tonight, about being connected to a body and thriving like God wants us to. Now, Jesus, He understood it. Jesus understood the importance of being connected. You know, in the Bible, He gathered people around Him. He had the 12 that were a core, but He always had people around Him. He knew the importance of relationship and of fellowship and being connected and plugged in and getting people connected and plugged in to something big. Jesus believed in it. You see it throughout the scripture. Paul believed in it. Paul understood the importance of it. And I thought I'd just read something real quick in Colossians 4:7-17. This is 11 verses. And in those verses, starting in 7, it says, okay, these names I can't pronounce very well, but Tychius will tell you all about me. He's a dear brother and a faithful minister. And I'm just going to run down through these just to give you an example. In verse 9, he said, he's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. And they'll tell you everything that happened in here. Verse 10 says, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, whatever his name is. Man, y'all just got to look over the pronunciation. He sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. On down to verse 11, it says, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends his greetings. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. Down to verse 14, it says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send their greetings. And then on and down to verse 17, it says, Archippus, see to it that you complete. Paul mentions over 100 names in his New Testament writings. Over 100 names that he mentions. People that he knows. People that are dear to him. People that he's connected to. In Romans 16 alone, there's 26 people listed. And then here, in these few verses, there's 10 people listed. Paul knew what it was to connect. He knew what it was to help people connect. He knew what it was, how important it was to connect with the body, to get plugged in, to surround himself with people. Now, over 100 people that Paul lists by name that were people that were dear to him. And so he understood that when you accept Jesus, you gain a family. You gain a family. You gain what they call in the scripture faithful friends. And he knew what it meant when the Bible says a friend sticks closer than a brother. And the Bible says a friend can stick closer than a brother. And so he knew what it was to be connected. He knew it was important to be connected. And we can learn a lot from that, what he knew, because we need to know the same thing. That it's that having a family, that connection. As Christians, we have a special bond with each other. I can't explain it. It's a supernatural thing. But as Christians, we have a special bond with one another. As we walk through life, as we sometimes struggle through life, as we rejoice through life, as we do life together with a common goal and a common objective, knowing that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with one another one day, we have to understand that we have a family. And that's what the church is supposed to be. That's what this is supposed to be. Just like Linda just earlier, you know, coming in here and just needing a lift. You know, we're a family. We're a family. We're supposed to encourage one another, strengthen one another. And, you know, I think about people that I'm connected with or people that I'm close to. You know, there are some people that I'm connected to spiritually that, you know, I would tell things to that I probably would never tell to my natural family. You know, I'm not knocking my natural family. I love them. They love me. They love God. But there's something about when you have a spiritual connection, a spiritual bond with someone, because you know they're going to be there to help you through the hard times. And a family, and what God's designed his family and his body to be, are people that can hold you up, people that can bring life to you, people that will look out for you, people that will support you, protect you, and refresh you through your walk, through your life. Amen? How many of y'all think y'all need people like that? Amen. We all need them. And I tell you, I've spent most of my ministry life trying to get people to connect, trying to get people to connect into the body. And there's so many times that we've seen, especially with couples ministries and stuff. I'm telling you, there's so many times I've seen couples walk through things, and there were those couples that would respond, they would get plugged in, and when they got plugged in, they found out that other people were fighting the same things they were. And I've watched couples go through and be plugged in and be a part. And I've watched other couples surround them, pray for them, strengthen them. And I've watched them grow and I've watched them overcome. But then I've seen other people, there's just a few couples I'm thinking of right now, other couples that were fighting some of the same issues. And you know, and we would pray with them and we'd try to encourage them to, you know, come on, get plugged in, be a part, surround yourself with people that can build you up. And I've watched those other couples go through the same things and not get plugged in, not get connected. And I watched them walk through things alone, walk through things that instead of having the base around them that could help them through and encourage them and provide accountability to them, I watched other couples go through the same thing and not make it through, end up in divorce or end up, you know, with just miserable, hopeless marriages. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference when you're part of a family. It makes a difference when you connect. And so keep in mind, you know, there are some things that we can connect with that aren't good things, right? How many of y'all know there's some, we can have some bad connections. We can have some things that connect us and pull us the wrong way. And so tonight, we're going to go through and talk about some of the things of what a good spiritual connection ought to look like. Some things that are common to what it looks like to be spiritually connected to the right things. Amen? Y'all want to go through that? Are y'all excited about that? Yeah. All right. So, come on, we got to get this Wednesday night crowd pumped up. All right, Sloppy Joe. You see, all right. It worked better the first time. All right. So what is it like to be spiritually connected? There's seven things that we're going to try to go through. We may not make it through all seven, but we're going to try. Seven things, metaphors of being part of a church, being connected to a church, being connected to the things that God wants us to be connected to. All right. So the first one is it's like being a building. In Ephesians 2:20-22, it says, "You believers are like a building that God owns. And Jesus is the most important stone in the building. And the whole building is joined together in Christ. You are being built into a place where God lives through the Spirit." And then Ephesians 2:21 says, "We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." God builds us together. I love the way it says that. It says we are carefully joined together. You're not here by accident. God places you here. God knows your strength. God knows your potential. God knows that what you can bring to the table. God knows. See, not only do we need the body, and you'll see the theme throughout this, is not only do we need the body, do we need to be connected, but the body needs you. The body needs you. Everybody say that. The body needs me. All right. So you're connected. You're built together, carefully placed in God's body. Now, if you have a building like this building on the outside, it's a block building, right? So if you have a building that's carefully joined together, it impacts the building when you start removing blocks. If a block crumbles or if a block doesn't take its spot on the wall, how many of you know that weakens the wall? If we started pulling blocks out of the walls of this building, how long do you think it would take before the building collapsed? Not long. Not long. And so you, as a body, being built together for a building. And our purpose is to house the presence of God. Our purpose is to allow God's life to flow into us and flow through us. Everybody that walks through this door, God's desire is for them to come in here and encounter the life-giving presence of God. The pastor doesn't carry that in himself. Man, other ministers don't carry that in himself. It's the body joined together that makes that possible. I heard somebody say the other day that great churches that are going somewhere, great ministries, they're not built on the talents of a few people, but they're built by the sacrifice of many. They're built on the sacrifice of many. So as we come together and as we realize that we have a place, that we play a part, that we're part of the temple that's being built here, we're part of the structure that God is building here in this city, and we realize that we play a part, and we realize that the church needs you, then man, God can begin to open up His plan and His destiny for our life. Because when we realize that God wants to use us and that we can make impact on people's life, man, doesn't that just encourage you to step out and to do something, to get connected in? And sometimes, you know, maybe we're a little reserved or anything, or maybe we're scared too, but Joyce Myers, I love what she says. She says, if you're scared to step out and do something God's called you to do, but you know God's called you to do it, if you're scared, just do it scared. Just do it scared. How many times do we have all these fears and all these things about stepping out and doing something? When we finally step out, when we finally get the courage, or maybe we just decide to do it scared, we realize that, man, this thing isn't as bad as what the enemy tried to make it look. How many of you ever done something or been reserved about something, but when you actually did it, man, you found joy and you found fulfillment in doing that thing? Any of you guys ever been there? Am I the only one that ever does things scared? But man, God will bring such fulfillment and such joy to your life when you step out and when you be the part, when you connect like He's called us to connect. We have to connect. To fulfill God's plan in our life, we have to connect. And so God's building us together like a building. And in a building, the connected parts, the blocks, every piece of that building, what they're meant to do is they're meant to hold each other up and hold each other together. Man, I tell you, we should just break out in that song right now, Lean On Me, right? Lean On Me. Because that's what this is all about. I mean, how many of you need somebody to hold you up? How many of you sometimes you need somebody just to slip up under you, just come alongside you, and just to give you a little extra strength? Sometimes all it takes is just a little extra strength, a little encouragement, and somebody's life can be changed forever. Man, it can mean the difference between death and life. It can mean the difference between a failed marriage and a successful marriage. It can be the difference in somebody taking their own life or not. You never know what you do and what little you do. You never know what God can do with that supernaturally. Amen? God's asking us to connect. He's asking us to step out. He's asking us to do our little part. And let Him take it and do something supernatural with it. Amen. He's building our body. How many of y'all believe He's building the church here in El Dorado? How many of you believe that He's using you to build that church? You are the church. Amen. Y'all say that. Say, I am the church. But you got to say it with passion. Say, I am the church. Okay, I didn't see anybody clenching their fists like that, but I'll give you a B+, a B+ on that one. So anyway, so the other thing, the second thing it's like being a body. Now we've already called it the body several times, but in the scripture it talks about the body and it relates it to our physical body. In Romans 12:45, it says, "Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other and to each of us, and each of us needs all the others." We belong to each other. That's not something that's popular today. Today it's all about who I am and what I need and what, you know, it's all about me. You know, there's very little talk today about belonging to someone else. That's why marriages suffer so much today, because it's all about what am I getting out of it? What am I, you know, what's in it for me? But being part of the body of Christ, we got to reverse that thinking. It's not about what the body can do for me, but it's about what I can do for the body. That almost sounds like that political, anyway. But anyway, so we belong to each other. We belong to each other. Amen? And there's a scripture in Isaiah, and I didn't write it down here, but there's a scripture in Isaiah that is talking about fasting and the purpose of fasting. But in that scripture, it says that if you spend your life on behalf of others, then it says God will refresh you. God will make you like a well-watered garden, even in the midst of a desert. I tell you, when there's something about when you give your life for others. And that's what it's talking about here. We belong to each other. You know, we don't belong to ourselves. We don't own our life. Our life is no longer ours, but it belongs to Christ Jesus, right? And he says, in order to connect, you have to live your life thinking about others. We belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. In Christ's body, Ephesians 4:25 says, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. Now, there may be some people that you don't necessarily want to be connected to, right? Some of you may be looking at me right now and say, I really don't want to be connected to you, Jason. I don't want to be connected to you. But, and if you're part of God's body, you just might as well get used to it. You're connected. Everybody else who says Jesus Christ is their Lord, they are your family. Amen? They are your family. And you might as well get used to them now, because you're going to have to spend eternity with them. Alright? So those of you that say, I don't want to be connected to him, I pray that I'm your neighbor in heaven. And you have to put up with me for eternity. But I don't believe that. I like Brother Jerry said, I just choose to believe everybody likes me until they prove different. So anyway, but we're all connected. We're joined together. Colossians 2:19 says, we are joined together in his body by his strong sinews. I don't know how to say the word. And we grow as we get our nourishment and strength from God. We're connected. We are supposed to live for each other. We're supposed to always consider each other. And we grow as we do that. As we function, the life of God is able to flow through us and in us and in every situation that we face. We grow by that. And we bring life to one another. If you're not connected, then life stops right there. Now, if you took out your elbow, how much life do you think would flow to your hand and your fingers after that? None, right? You're disconnected. There is no life, just like the vine and the branches. But we bring life to one another. This is the thing. So in your notes, if you're taking notes so far, to be spiritually connected, the way God's called us to, so that some of the characteristics of that is that we'll hold each other up. If you're connected some things and there's not a holding up and a holding together, then you might need to check that connection. So we hold each other up. We bring life to one another. And number three, it's like being a flock. Psalms 103 says, God made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. How many of y'all like being called a sheep? But there are good things about being part of a flock. There are good things about being part of the flock. First off, it says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The first thing that tells me is that if I'm part of his flock, if I'm connected to his flock, first off is I've got a shepherd. I've got a shepherd. There's a guy from South Africa that used to come to Victory and speak. And he told a story one time, and I think I've told it here before, but I'll tell it again. It's worth telling. It said the difference between someone that belongs to a flock, like a goat or a sheep, and a snake, is that there's a protection in being part of a flock. He said in the village he was at, where he grew up, he said one day there was some commotion outside, and he went outside, and all the kids, there was a snake. They had found a snake, and all the kids were throwing rocks at it and trying to kill the snake. And then finally somebody stepped in and they, with a stick, and they killed the snake. And he said, you know, nobody complained. Nobody came to the defense of the snake. Nobody came and said, hey, that's my snake. It had no owner. He said, but if you went down the street and found a goat or some sheep in a pen, he said, and start throwing rocks at them, start hitting them with sticks, and start abusing them and trying to kill them. See, he said, eventually, you're going to meet the owner. Eventually, you're going to meet the owner. And so being part of the flock of God, being a sheep of his pasture, first off, provides protection because we have an owner. Amen. Praise God that he is our shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the Bible says. And if you're part of his flock, he's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. And he's going to guide you and guard you. And he's going to lead you to nourishment, to lead you into good places. How many of y'all are glad you have an owner? So how many of you are glad you're part of a flock? Amen. Call me a sheep any day you want. I'm glad to be a sheep. I'm glad to be part of his pasture. In Ephesians, in 1 Peter 5:2, it says, take care of God's flock, his people that you're responsible for. Watch over them because you want to, not because you're forced to. Watch over them. Sheep are protected. And so when you're connected into the church and you're part of a flock, you're protected. Not only is God your protector, but also talking about a flock, there's protection in numbers. You know, when a wolf goes after a flock of sheep, you know, they don't go after the group of sheep. The wolf or the predator always watches for the stragglers. Always watches for the ones that are behind. It won't attack the whole flock usually. It'll wait until it finds one slipping back, one slipping behind, finds one that's been detached from the flock, and that's the one they go after. But how many of you know we're part of a flock, and if we stay connected in to the body like we're supposed to, if we stay connected in to the flock like God's called us to, how many know there's protection in that? There's safety in that. There's safety in that. We're protected by numbers. Number four, it's like being a family. In 1 Timothy 3:15 says, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church. Amen? How many of y'all are glad that you're part of God's family? It says in Romans 12:10, it says, love each other like brothers and sisters. Love each other like brothers and sisters. You see, now how many of y'all know every family's got some of those members, right? Alan, I'm not looking at you for any reason. I just, you know, don't be offended. But anyway, being part of a family. You know, with family, one thing you know, one thing I always told my family is, you know, no matter what I do, you have to love me. You're called to love me. You're ordered by God to love me. You know, you've got to love your family. And, but coming to church and being part of a church, I mean, I know it's a place where our desire is, and the church is supposed to be a place where you can come and feel like you're with family. We're supposed to be family. It's a place where, the thing about family, and a lot of people, how many of you family is really important to you? How many of you family? Now, some people don't have as good experiences with family, but a family is supposed to be a support system. A family is supposed to be people and a place where you go and you have support. You know? How many of you know there's mothers and fathers that, even though their kids may be hellions, you know what? Their child can do no wrong. You know, but they're always loved. But, you know, we do that. No matter how much my kids mess up, you know what? I'm always going to love them. I'm always going to encourage them. I'm always going to be there for them. You know? Amen? And so with a family is a place where there's support. And so the church is supposed to be like that. This church is supposed to be a family knit together. Amen? Where we come together and we eat sloppy joes and hot dogs And it don't matter if I drip some of my shirt. It's okay. Y'all still okay with that, right? The whole time I was thinking, I ate a little bit of it. I knew better than do it before I talk. But anyway, so I ate one. I'm thinking, man, if I drop this on my shirt, and I'm like, you know what? They just have to love me anyway. But anyway, the church is supposed to be an atmosphere of a family where there's support for one another. Amen? Number five, connecting spiritually is supposed to be like, it's like an army. Like an army. Now, when you think of army, you know, you think of numbers. How many of y'all ever just have been amazed at an ant, an army of ants? Now, one ant can't do much. They're still pretty spectacular considering their size. But with an army of ants, man, they can devour something no time. How many of you ever had plants or anything like that? And you go out one day and they're fine. You come out the next day and there's just a huge ant bed there and the plant's dying. You ever seen that? The other day I was trimming some hedges at our house and because I was putting up some shutters. So I had to get in there in the bushes and I didn't see it, but there was a weed growing up in the bushes. And for some reason, I don't know what it is about that weed. I went back and pulled every one of them I could find after that. But that weed was covered in those big, big black ants. You know, those big, I don't even know what you call them, but those big black ants, you know, it was covered in them. I didn't see that. Somehow I didn't notice that. And when I was reaching through the bushes, you know, I scraped by that plant, that weed. And so then I stepped back and I was fixing to get something and I felt something on my ear. And so I did like that, and it was one of those big black ants fell. Then I felt something else, and I did like that, and another black ant fell. All of a sudden, man, I started feeling stuff everywhere, and I went crazy. Nicole was out there with me, and man, I just started doing the, you know, I was swatting and shaking and running, and you know, I was doing everything I could, because man, I was like, these ants are fixing to eat me. They're gonna eat me and take me underground, you know. Man, that was just, I just brushed the thing. I'm like, where did it finally? So then Nicole, she thought it was a good excuse to start hitting me too. So anyway, I halfway think she really enjoyed it, you know? She's like, oh, I'm helping get the ants off. Bam, 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 bam. You know? It's like, well, you don't need a baseball bat for that, you know? So anyway, so man, I was swatting and moving like you wouldn't think a big man like me could do it. I was, man. I was moving, shaking the ants off. Anyway. So we got them off, and I was just like, man, where did that come from? And so then I found the weed. And, you know, I just barely touched it. But, man, an army of ants can do some damage. And they can freak a big guy out here, you know. But when we become connected, when we become connected to the body, and we get plugged in, we are part of an army. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. You know, the thing, let me read this. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The thing is, we're part of an army, but we're part of an army together. You know, the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. When we come together, we can stand against some big attacks of the enemy. When we come together, we can protect each other. When we come together, we can pull each other out of the pit. We can stand by each other in the trenches of this life, and we can overcome. Amen? When we come together as the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come together, we can do great things, and we can accomplish great things. Oh, 6:30. No, is that clock right? 7:30. Man, I was thinking I had to get around to the 12 hand. I'm out of time. All right. Thanks, Joe, for the music. I guess, is that why you were waving and dancing a while ago? Okay. Sorry. But here's the thing. Soldiers get in the trench together. When you're connected to a body and when you're connected spiritually like God wants us to be, you're going to find out that there's people that are around you. There's people that will join you in the trenches and they won't leave until it's safe. There's people that will join you and they won't leave or give up until the enemy is defeated. And when we come together in numbers, when we come together as the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can overcome. Amen? Everybody say, I'm part of an army. All right, so here's what we have so far. Here's what I have so far is that being connected brings to our life safety. I'm trying to find it in the notes. Anyway, it brings to our life safety. It brings into our life people that will hold us up. It brings to our life people that will support us and strengthen us. I'll tell you what, there's nothing about being connected that should turn anybody off. It's worth overcoming whatever it is that's holding you back. We want you to be connected in this church. You know, that's really the push right now, is to be connected, be a part, find joy in serving the Lord together. Amen? I'll mention the others real quick. I won't go into them. But it's like being an army. It's like being a shield, a place that's safe. It's like finding an oasis, a place of rest. The church and our desire for the church and God's desire for the church is that it's a place of rest. It's a place of refreshing. It's a place where you find protection. It's a place where you connect with people that will fight for you, that will fight with you. A place where people support you, people look out for you, will bring life to you, and hold you up. Then I'm telling you what, life will be so much more enjoyable if we all will connect to the living body of Christ that He has designed. The Bible says that Jesus came and He founded the church. Jesus knew that it was important. Jesus knew that it was the thing that will help you sustain your life. Amen? That's why He came to establish the church. The church has so much potential, so much to offer. But the other thing is, the church needs you. Not only do you need the church, but the church needs you. We all play a part. Let's connect. Let's connect and let's play our part. Amen? How many of y'all want to connect tonight? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord God, for Your word. Lord, I thank You, God, that You've given us a place, God, to plug in, to connect. Lord, I thank You for this church, God. I thank You that this is a place where people can come, God, and they can find strength and encouragement, God. A place where there's safety, God, where they can join with other brothers and sisters, God. That there are people, God, that will join with them, Lord God, and see them through, God. People that will hold our hand, God, and lift us up, God, and join us in the battles that we face, God. I thank You that for the church, God. I thank You that the church is a place of life, a place of encouragement, a place of joy, a place of rest. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that You would just put a desire in all of our hearts, God, to be a part of this great thing that You've established, and that is the church, the body of Christ. Lord, thank You that for the invitation. Thank You for the opportunity to be a part, God. I just pray, Father God, that as a church, God, that we will meet the needs of the people, that we will meet the needs of the city. God, that we will fulfill the purpose and the call of this church in this city. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, Lord God, that You're helping us to connect and be a part of something bigger than we could ever be by ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.